from Exodus 20:20 how we are to do things God's way. And that spoke about the way in which we worship the Lord. In Leviticus, we saw how we are to be holy. And that talked about our testimony. In Numbers, we saw God's roadblocks and how the shortest route as a believer is not always the best route. And we looked at God's leading in our lives in the year ahead. In Deuteronomy, we looked at the battles we face, and we talked about spiritual warfare. In Judges, we looked at dealing with sin and how sin can have such a negative impact upon our lifestyle. In 1 Samuel, we talked about expecting change and always being open to God's direction in our lives. In 2 Samuel, we looked at the dangers of rebellion. In 1 Kings, we looked at the battle that comes after we've already won the victory. And what that talked about was complacency in the believer's life. In 2 Kings, we talked about gearing up for trials, the preparation for the trials that will come our way in the year ahead. In 2 Chronicles, we looked at the fact that problems are persistent, and we saw then our need for constant prayer. In Job, we looked at the relentlessness of sin and our need for constant protection. We looked at Proverbs, and we were just looked at be careful and how we need to be obedient to the word of the Lord. In Ezekiel, we looked at Israel's history lesson and saw how we can learn from mistakes. In Matthew 20:20, we looked at whether or not we were selfish or whether or not we were selfless. And that was how we can serve the Lord and how we can serve others in the year ahead. And then in Luke, we looked at our responsibility, the fact that we were made in God's image, and we have a responsibility to project that image, if you like, to a lost and dying world. And in John chapter 20, and we'll start reading in verse 19. It says that the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and for this time together. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to gather in this church today. And Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that you would help us to understand your word today, Lord. But more than that, we pray that you would help us to apply this word to our hearts and to our lives. Father, we recognize the great responsibility that is ours, that we may be a testimony to a lost and dying world around us. But Father, we will either be a good testimony or a bad testimony. We will either point people toward the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will put them off. And Father, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, in the way in which we live our lives, to again be that epistle that Paul spoke of, a living epistle to be read of all men, that people might see the Lord Jesus Christ in and through us, and that they too might come to know him as their Savior. So Father, we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning, for we ask these things in Christ's most wonderful name. Amen. Amen. As we've seen so far, we've seen that trials do come. We've seen that difficulties do come. We've seen that life is full of experiences that can take the wind out of our sails. Even in this series, we've looked at the battles we've faced. We've looked at the sins that we face. We've looked at the persistent problems that keep coming our way. And as we've seen, it doesn't have to be a great big trial. It can simply be a little thorn in the flesh that Paul spoke of, something that's just little and niggling, but it's constant. And those things can weigh us down. Those things can defeat us before we've even started our day. Some things can be almost unbearable. It's that, like the saying, the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe there's things that we can cope with on a normal day-to-day basis. But because these trials are persistent and they're constant, sometimes it's just the littlest thing, that straw that can break the camel's back. So how do we cope with that? How do we not just live with our circumstances? How do we rise above them? How do we get that victory, maintain that victory? And no matter what the trial is, the problem is, whatever the straw is, it's not enough to break our back because we've risen above those circumstances. The disciples have assembled together on a Sunday evening, the first day of the week, the day that Christ arose. But guess what? They are scared. They are unsure of the future. They really don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. The wind has well and truly been taken out of their sails. The doors have been shut. The intention was to keep people out. But intentions go out the window when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. We might have the best intentions of how to cope with certain things in our lives, but that all goes out the window when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. God has a way of intervening where we don't want intervention. Jesus knows their hearts, knows exactly what their thoughts are, and what their thoughts are, knows exactly what it is that they are thinking, and he simply comes in and says, peace. And when he had said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Then were the disciples glad. The word glad is from the Greek kairo, which means to rejoice exceedingly or thrive. And that reveals some interesting insights. Because as I said before, the Lord doesn't want us to live with our circumstances. The Lord wants us to thrive. The Lord wants us to have that peace, to be able to rejoice exceedingly, that we are enabled to rise above our circumstances. Twice the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, peace. First of all, in verse 19, he says, peace be unto you. And then again in verse 21, he says, peace be unto you. The first offer of peace in this room, shalom, dealt with their conscience, their feeling of guilt, their feeling of guilt from betrayal, their feeling of guilt from failure, their guilt from letting the Lord down, their guilt from failing him at his most crucial moment. But the second offer of peace in verse 21 was for their hearts and to calm their fears. The first offer of peace dealt with their position before God. The second offer of peace dealt with their condition in the world. The first offer of peace dealt with peace with God. The second one referred to the peace of God. The first peace dealt with the results of atonement. We have peace because of Calvary. The second peace is peace from communion with Christ. And that's the peace that calms our fears. In spite of the stress from society that they were facing, in spite of the fear they had, in spite of the pressure from their peers, in spite of all that was going on, the disciples were able to rejoice. They were able to rise above their circumstances. They were glad, not only because of the peace from God, but because of the peace of God. They were glad. They were thriving. They were rejoicing exceedingly. John 16:22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The circumstances of these disciples haven't changed. The circumstances are still exactly the same. But what changed was their outlook on life, their outlook on their circumstances. Jesus raised them above this situation. He did it for the disciples, he did it for Paul, and he can do it for us. You might say, well, their circumstances did change because they were upset because the Lord had died and they didn't know what to do, but they knew he'd risen. They already knew that. Mary had told them. They already had the guilt of failure. They'd already failed the Lord, so those circumstances hadn't changed. They already had a problem with their peers around them. Those circumstances hadn't changed. But the Lord enabled them to rise above their circumstances. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation, Paul said, and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. The words earnest expectation come from the Greek word formed by three words, which means head, away, and watch. The idea here is that we are on tiptoes with our head rising above our circumstances, looking away from our distractions and focusing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we rise above our circumstances? And you know, we might be here today and maybe as a parent, maybe as a mother, you are going through something in terms of raising a child that is difficult. And those circumstances every day are hard. And guess what? It's hard to raise a child. It's difficult to raise a child. But God has given us an awesome responsibility to raise our children, to train them, to teach them about the word of the Lord. You know, we were talking about this last week, and you look at RE being taught in schools. And we can get upset about the Bible being removed from schools. We can get upset about RE not being taught in schools. And we can get all bent out of shape because of what's happening in the schools. But guess what? It's not the school's responsibility to train our children about the things of God. It's ours. Yes, we would love it if RE was taught in school, if the Bible was taught in school, if the Bible was taught as it should be in school. But it's our responsibility as parents to teach our children, to train our children. It's not the TV's responsibility to train up a child in the way that they should go. Because guess what? That's exactly the way they will go if we allow the TV to raise our kids. It's our responsibility as parents. But sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Mums, wouldn't you just like to have a bath without one of your children coming in and wanting your attention every moment of every day? Perhaps it's a bit different for the men, I don't know. But sometimes it's hard. It's hard as parents. It's hard as believers to cope with some of the circumstances that come our way every single day. So how, mums, do we rise above our circumstances? How, believers, do we rise above our circumstances? The first thing is to have the right attitude. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." The word careful there gives the idea of anxiety, of worry. Here's the thing. As believers, we are called to be warriors, not worriers. That's what the Bible calls us to be. The Bible calls us to be warriors and not worriers. We live in a society where there is a fretful anxiety about everything. We live in a world that is focused upon material things. And as people, we have that anxiety that if we don't have the latest and greatest, that we won't actually fit in, that people will look down on us. And we have that anxiety today about material things that will actually rob the Christian of their peace of mind. Many believers today are like Martha. Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, Martha may have been doing the right thing, but the motive was all wrong. And in the end, what she was doing, trying to serve the Lord, actually became a burden, became a worry, became a care, became an anxiety. Peter told us exactly what to do with our worries, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. When we worry, we are robbed of our peace. That's what the disciples were doing in that upper room. They were worrying. That's why the Lord came in and said, "Peace be unto you." How many times have the disciples heard those words? "Peace be unto you." This isn't the first time they've heard those words. This isn't the first time they've been worried and fretful and anxious. When we let circumstances overwhelm us, one commentator says this: worry is the interest we pay on the debt of unbelief which we have mortgaged our lives. Let me say that again. Worry is the interest we pay on the debt of unbelief with which We have mortgaged our lives. Christ is our Savior. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he says the exact same words to us today. Peace be unto you. Remember, he said, my peace I give. Not as the world giveth peace, give I unto you. My peace. A peace which passes understanding. But we allow the circumstances in our lives that we face every day, those small circumstances, and that one straw that can break the camel's back, as it were. We allow those circumstances to rob us of the peace that God has already given us. Paul says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God can meet our need. What is the need that you have today? Is it a need of an erring child? Is it a need of a situation you are facing? Is it a need whereby you need God to intervene and to help? What is the need that you have today? My God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do we have the right attitude when it comes to our circumstances? Do we understand that God has given us that peace? That Christ comes in right next to us today and says, peace. Peace be unto you. Not only should we have the right attitude, we need to have the right outlook. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20, Paul said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 4:6, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. But it was easy for Paul to say those things. Paul spoke with the Lord almost face to face. Paul had been up to the third heavens. Paul had seen things that no believer had ever seen. Paul was the great apostle. Paul was the one who wrote a lot of the New Testament. This is Paul we're talking about. It's easy for Paul to say those things. But no, it wasn't. Because when Paul wrote Philippians, he was in prison. Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, rejected, was hounded by those who didn't believe. And yet Paul was able to rise above his circumstances. Why? Because he had the right outlook. He was looking at the Savior instead of looking at his situation. We had to pray about everything. But not just come before the Lord with our shopping list of what we want. Because that prayer ought to be mingled with praise as well. Because he's already done far more for us than we ever deserve. When we pray, remember the love of God that desires the best for us. Remember the wisdom of God which knows what's best for us. Remember the power of God which can bring to pass that which is best for us. We need to be thankful and grateful for his provisions. One story tells of a mother and a son who lived in a forest. One day they were out and a tornado was sweeping through the forest. The mother clung to a tree to try and hold her son, but the swirling winds carried him up into the sky and he was gone. The woman began to weep and pray, please, O Lord, bring him back. Bring back my boy. He's all I have. I'll do anything not to lose him. If you bring him back, I'll serve you all my days. Suddenly the boy toppled from the sky right to her feet. A bit messed up, but safe and sound. His mother joyfully brushed him off. Then she stopped for a moment, looked at the sky and said, he had a hat, Lord. Are we thankful for what God has provided for us? Or are we hard to please? No matter what the answer to prayer is, we're always looking for something more, something extra. Paul said in Philippians 4:11 to 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Many people today seek contentment in possessions. But those possessions wear out. Those possessions break down. Paul was somebody who lived above his circumstances. He was somebody who had learned. What does that mean? Well, what did he learn? He learned to live above his circumstances. He learned to rise above his circumstances, no matter what they were. Why? Because he had the right outlook. Paul knew that the ability of Jesus Christ knows no inability. He could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him. To the ignorant, he gives wisdom. To the fearful, he gives courage. To the proud, he gives humility. To the hurting, he gives healing. To the worried, he gives peace. To the sinner, he gives forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us the ability to rise above our circumstances. He doesn't allow us to just cope or to just get by. Because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He doesn't help us just survive, he helps us to soar. He doesn't help us to just exist. But he helps us to rise above our circumstances. But do we have the right attitude? Do we have the right outlook? Do we have the right dependence? Are we depending upon him? You know, the disciples in this upper room, they weren't dependent upon the Lord. They were dependent upon themselves. They'd locked themselves in. They were trusting in their own abilities. They weren't relying upon the Lord. God wants us to be dependent on him, not independent of him. Mordecai's counsel to Esther was to depend upon the Lord. You might say, oh, wait a minute, now God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther. But look at what he says. Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and... For thou and thy house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who do we depend upon? Do we depend upon ourselves, or do we depend upon the Lord? It's a story told in a national magazine. Photographer was to take pictures of a forest fire. He was told that a plane would be out on the tarmac waiting for him to get in, and that this plane would take him over the forest fire and he could get all the pictures that he wanted. The photographer arrived at the airstrip an hour before sundown, and sure enough, there was a small Cessna airplane waiting for him. He jumped in with his equipment and shouted, "Let's go!" The pilot, a tense-looking man, turned the plane into the wind, and soon they were in the air, though flying erratically. "Fly over the north side of the fire," said the photographer. "Make several low-level passes." "Why?" asked the nervous pilot. "Because I'm going to take pictures," yelled the photographer. "I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." The pilot replied, You mean you're not the flight instructor?" Sometimes we are like that photographer. We put our trust in the wrong person or the wrong thing. It might look like the real deal. It might look okay. But looks can be deceiving. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's the only way we're going to be able to rise above our circumstances, realizing that the Lord is always with us. No matter what the situation may be. Romans 8, 37 to 39 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Have you ever wondered why you find yourself in certain situations and certain circumstances? Now, I realize that sometimes we put ourselves in difficult positions. You know, sometimes I... perhaps I shouldn't say this. Sometimes I scratch my head and say to Joe, oh, do you know, I've turned into my father. Because some of the things I've started doing are some of the things that I would look at my dad and scratch my head and think, what are you thinking? Why are you doing that? And sometimes we put ourselves in these situations. Sometimes we do things that, you ever hear this expression, well, you brought it on yourself. Sometimes we do that to ourselves. But if you ever wonder then, when you can't explain it, and you know it's not something you have done, and that you know something has happened, you ever wondered why you find yourself in that position, why those circumstances have come, why you're in that situation? If we have the right dependence, the question changes. And it changes from why, Lord, to what, Lord? Well, what do I mean by that? It changes from, Lord, why am I in this situation, to, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this situation? Years gone by, before the speed of transport that we have today, it was during the 19th century that they were trying to get fresh North Atlantic cod from Boston to San Francisco. The only way to ship the fish to the West Coast was to sail around the South American continent, a trip that took months. As you can imagine, the first attempts to dress the cod in Boston and pack them in ice failed miserably. By the time they reached California, they weren't fit for consumption. Next, the cod were placed in holding tanks full of water, shipped to California alive and dressed there. The results were less than satisfactory because the fish didn't get much exercise during the trip. And when they arrived, they were pasty and relatively tasteless. Finally, someone hit upon an interesting idea. Why don't we put some catfish in with the cod? Catfish are the cod's natural enemy. Sure enough, when a few catfish were placed in those tanks, the cod were always alert. The cod were always swimming around. This time, when the fish reached San Francisco, they were in perfect shape. Sometimes, God places circumstances in our lives to keep us on our toes, as it were. Sometimes God allows irritating problems into our lives to keep us spiritually active, to keep us spiritually in tune with the Lord. One of my favorite quotes is by Leonard Ravenhill, and he says, the reason the church is dying on its feet is because it's not living on its knees. And sometimes circumstances come our way to make us spiritually active when it comes to praying. When things go our way, we find that we don't pray so much. Why is it that when we have a problem with our child, we tend to pray more for our child when we've got a problem than when everything's going okay? Maybe there are some children in the church that get prayed for a lot more than others. But it's true. I mean, we went through a patch with... perhaps I shouldn't say this. Oh, she's not here. With Hannah, she was a nightmare. She doesn't listen to this anyway, so we'll be all right. She was hard work. And we read books on, you know, Christian counselors on parenting, and she was just so strong-willed like a mother. It was unbelievable. Nothing like Eve, who was perfectly well-behaved like her father. But she was hard. And I remember Jan saying to us, when you want advice, go to a drag. And I went, and Jan said to us, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. But it was tough. But I tell you what, she was prayed for. And she was prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. But when everything's going okay with our children, maybe we don't pray for them as much as we should. What am I trying to say? Sometimes circumstances come into our lives to keep us spiritually active. Because some situations drive us to our knees when we realize that we can't do this without the Lord. We need the right attitude. And God gives us that attitude. Peace be unto you. We need that right outlook. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Look at what the disciples achieved. There they are on that first day of the week, quivering like an absolute wreck because of their circumstances. The circumstances hadn't changed, but then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, Peter preaches such a message that thousands come to know Christ as their Savior. You have disciples being martyred. You have disciples proclaiming the message. And what happened? These men suddenly had the right attitude, the right outlook, the right dependence, and they rose above their circumstances and became such a force for the Lord that it turned the known world at that time upside down for the gospel. But we allow our circumstances to defeat us and to destroy us, and what we need to do is learn to rise above those circumstances by having the right dependence upon the Lord, by having the right attitude of the Lord's peace, and having the right outlook. Because when we look to him, we'll stop focusing upon us. I don't know what it is all of you are going through. I know a little about what some of you are going through. But I don't know about what you're all going through at this moment in time. Now, maybe your situation might seem petty compared to somebody else's. But it's not to you, because you were going through it. Now, I don't know what it is you're facing. I don't know what it is you're going through. I don't know what difficulties you face right now. And sometimes, friends, family, and the church can't help. But the Lord can. And whilst he might not change the circumstance, he'll change our attitude in that situation for us to be able to rise above it. What is it that you face today? Do you need the Lord to come by the side of you and say, child, peace be unto you? Isn't it amazing that we still hear that still small voice of our Lord today saying to us, child, peace be unto you? I wonder what it is you need from the Lord this morning. Maybe you are here today and you've yet to trust him as your Savior. You'll never know the peace of God until you come to know the Prince of Peace personally. You'll never know a peace that passes understanding until you call upon that name. You'll never know what it is to have somebody by your side unfailing until you call on the name of the Lord. Maybe you are in a situation today that you feel like there is absolutely no help and no hope. Maybe you need to hear the Lord's voice today saying, child, peace be unto you. Have the right attitude, the right outlook, and the right dependency, because he can and will help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together.